This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
A lot of mom guilt comes from this feeling that we're bad inside. Like, we're bad people. We like have to apologize. We have to keep all of our mistakes under wraps. Hopefully no one noticed them.
Oh, yeah.
It also comes with, like, a lot of people don't apologize to their kids ever. Like, they don't.
It's a sign of weakness, the older generation likes to
say.
Yeah,
and I hear a lot about moms going to humble themselves for their kids. And when I think about that, I'm like, it's not really humbling yourself when you're apologizing. It's actually a very free process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
Bree's making funny faces at me again, guys. Like, always when I'm reading that, I'm like, oh, she has her tongue out. It's like doing the little
eyes crossed.
Thing.
I do the best I can. The roll, the tongue roll.
It's a genetic thing. It's like a...
I'm trying to think. Like, I think my daughter is like the epitome of recessive genes.
Yeah.
Girl can do the tongue. She can do the tongue roll. She has dimples. She has blue eyes. I think freckles are also recessive trait. So like, yeah, that girl is like, give me everything that's less likely to happen and I'll take it.
Can you do this with the tongue roll?
No, I cannot. I cannot.
Guys, what I just did... is I made two rolls in my tongue. Well, actually, three.
Okay.
It's like, think of a roller coaster, like the hills. Blah, 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 I could do that with my tongue. That took some practice. That was like mere practice.
Okay.
You have to fold it first, and then you have to like, yeah, I think we need a YouTube tutorial on how to do
that. Yeah, I was going to say, this is one of those moments that listening on a podcast, and you're just not grasping the gravity of our skills here.
Yeah, I'll just have to post
it's
a picture.
Crazy. It is crazy.
No, it's crazy. Today, we're digging into the mom guilt. Guys, like Bree and I actually were recording this right before we're hopping on a flight tomorrow morning and getting away from our families for 2 days, which is wonderful. I suggest everybody does that. Get away from the family for 2 days. But
that's a whole other podcast right there. But
there's a lot of mom guilt that comes with it. And like we here at No Guilt Mom, like we want to help you crush this mom guilt so it's no longer a thing that holds you back in your life. I mean, just imagine the world filled with moms who have no mom guilt, who do so much for themselves and who are so happy and fulfilled. And they still have great kids and they're a great parent as well. I mean, that's a pretty spectacular world I see there.
Yes. Like women that are skilled in the ability to put their oxygen mask on first so that they can then assist other people. And I love that example and I hate that example. I just want to like
my oxygen mask one
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love it because I think it's very true, right? Like if we have nothing to give, if we are like on empty, we can't help anybody else in our lives. We can't be there as a mom, a friend, spouse, whatever, right? However, with that being said, I think it also kind of makes it sound like put your oxygen mask on because it's your job to serve everybody else. and you can't serve them if you don't do it. And I was like, no, 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 no.
The point of your life is not to serve everybody else. It's not to serve everybody else. Let's make that clear. It is your point. The point of your life is not to serve everyone else. And please, 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 before we get into it, if you know a mom who is struggling with this concept, if they think their entire life is revolving around their family, can you share this episode with them? Just share it with them, send it to them, be like, I think you'll enjoy this. There are a lot of great tips in here because we're going to give you all the great tips. So now let's get on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
So mom guilt is something that's talked about so much among moms. It is not really talked about among dads. Like, there is no such term in the world that we use for dad guilt because I don't feel like it exists. And all the men out there who say it does exist, I'm sorry, it doesn't. You're wrong.
Well, not,
you're wrong.
Not at the same level that this one does. Like, I do not like to pull the gender card on things, but like, this is definitely something that is a huge gender, you know, inequality. Like, yeah, dads do have guilt as well, but it is not as systemic, if Bree can talk today. And it is not as like where people are just like, suck it up and deal with it. Like, we all acknowledge that there's mom guilt, but in general, it's like, be grateful. Hashtag blessed.
Oh, yeah. That is it. It is be grateful. And whenever I get with groups of moms, it is always like, the same thing. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I did this for my kids. Oh, I did this for my kids. And like, every single conversation is usually about the kids. And it's hard to steer away from that because I will steer away from it. And like, I do it all the time. And people look at me so weird. I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, so like, what have you done lately for fun? And what's that response usually got with? It's like,
that's a hard fun. You get one of two things. You either get the, oh my God, I can't remember the last time I peed by myself or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or you get the like blank deer in headlight stare. Like they're like, I don't know. Like, what do I do for fun? Well, sometimes I'll put on like a G-rated movie so that we don't have to watch cartoons. Like, I remember when that was the highlight of my life, was that I had gotten my kids into like 70s, 80s G, PG rated movies so I didn't have to watch Dora the Explorer all weekend long.
Oh my God.
I could occasionally like mix it up with like Superman from 1973.
That's where I loved mobile devices, because like, my kids used to do that. Like, they would watch like, gosh, it wasn't Blue's Clues with them. What was it? It was Paw Patrol for my son.
Yeah.
Yo Gabba Gabba for my daughter. And I would just pull out my cell phone with headphones. I'd be looking like sitting with them, but I'd be watching Scandal, which is great. But like, here's the thing with mom guilt is that I remember watching my mom and I was leaving for college. And I mean, looking back at the age of my mom too, I'm pretty sure she was probably going through menopause as well, but it was a very emotional time for her. Like, emotional, like I couldn't even get on the phone from college without her breaking down in tears and like saying how I left.
Aww.
You know, I left them. And I feel like that is pretty, it's not rare in parents.
Yeah.
Like, you see a lot of moms in particular breaking down and not knowing what to do with themselves when their kids leave the house.
Oh, yeah.
And
I lived it. Yeah, I lived that. So I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that I've been so aware of in my parenting journey, because from the other side, seeing that happen, like, it hurt so bad. I felt so, so bad. Like, I was disappointing everyone. So now, like, I just want to paint this picture of what it looks like when mom guilt really goes down. Because while no guilt mom, I always talk about it as being an ideal, and like, I haven't reached it, I'm doing pretty good at it. I feel like I don't have much mom guilt in my life. So much so that I was just talking with my husband the other day, and I'm like, I love that our kids are growing up and doing things on their own and being independent. Yeah. Like this feeling of just being able to go out on a date, the two of us, and not have to arrange babysitting is amazing.
I love that you guys do that. That was like – I do feel like I saw – because I remember when you guys started doing that, like seeing the joy of being able to do stuff.
Well, yeah, even now, like as they get older, like we can go on night dates and not have to do it during the workday because they could stay home. And like I was even thinking, I'm like, we should ask you and Miguel to go and like meet us at a restaurant sometimes, because it's like we have all this freedom. And I feel like it was before we had kids almost. Like I'm getting back to that feeling of just being able to go places and being able to do things and not having to worry if it's kid appropriate or not. And like it's amazing, Brie. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, it is fantastic. Like I would say like one of my favorite things that I have learned that is letting go of mom guilt has been going places with my girlfriends. Like while I love doing stuff like going out on dates and whatnot with my husband and all that, like I got to experience the non-kids when I first had my divorce. And like I said, like I got to experience and it was hard. I was depressed. I stayed in bed all weekend, didn't know what to do with myself because I didn't have my kids. But having moved past that, right, and I thought I was in a good spot. But then once I started getting to actually like extract myself even more, and like one of the best things I ever did was I went to Disneyland. And I remember like telling our friend Shayna, like, I don't like Disneyland. She tries to give me a go all the time. I'm like, I don't like Disneyland. It's not fun. And she's like, you have to go with adults. You don't understand. Like, no kids, just adults. I went one time with a bunch of adults. I had no idea that Disneyland could be so nice. Nobody complaining about what ride to go on, who was going to ride with who. Nobody bitching that the line was an hour long. Like, you know, it was like, whatever, do what you want. Come, don't come. I'll wait in line with you. This sounds fun. It was awesome. And then like the same, like getting bigger, like going on trips with my friends, like going out like with you and Shayna when we went to Europe, like, or even when we jetted off to Mexico back in August just for a quick weekend trip. And it's so much, so much weight gets taken off your shoulders, because even when it's like, even with me, like, even if it's with your spouse, like you're sometimes worried, like, oh, are they going to be okay with this? Are they going to be okay with that? Like, it's just, it's a whole different level of letting go of that guilt.
Totally. So let's really define this mom guilt right now, because we want to be really specific about what we're talking about. And mom guilt is like that voice in our head that tells us that we will miss something important. Only we can handle this. We're a horrible mom if we skip out on this activity, because it is not okay to let our kids suffer in any single way. That is really mom guilt.
We're not as good as everybody else. I am failing at this. Like, I'm not doing it right. And why is it everybody else has got it figured out and I'm struggling with this? Oh, God, I know that so-and-so is judging me right now. Like, all that.
Yeah.
All that.
And it's so easy to get sucked into the mom guilt, because you will see it every single place around you. Like, I find that there's a lot of mom guilt I could probably take from my mom or my mother-in-law. And it's completely unintentional on their part. They are not bad people. It is just the programming that they have had. For instance, I was talking with my mother-in-law like a few weeks ago, and I was talking about how I think I was going on a trip or something. Mm-hmm. And she said something like, must be nice. And she didn't mean anything by it. It was totally her own interpretation of it. Like, she did not mean to put anything on me. I know that for certain. Like, she is not – she's a really, really person.
Wait, you mean not but, like when my mother-in-law used to say, like, I don't know how I raised kids without a degree like you have.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
But, like –
bringing in my own there.
No, but that's true life. Yeah. It's real life. Like, if you are listening right now and you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, my mother-in-law, my mom, like, put so much guilt on me, and they have these little passive-aggressive digs and comments, and they are, it's a passive-aggressive thing. So anytime, like, you would want to counter them on it or call them out on it, they will probably be like, no, that's not what I meant. No, like, you're taking things, you're being too sensitive.
One. And that is without the mood swings that I'm dealing with right now. Like, yeah, I hate that one. You're being sensitive. Why don't you know how to take a joke?
That's not what I meant. You're totally taking it out of context. Really?
Because it was only one sentence long. Pretty sure the context was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I call malarkey on that one. Call malarkey because, oh my goodness, all of this stuff around you right now is contributing to your mom guilt. But once you can like see it and take it out for what's happening, because if I hadn't done like all of this work in No Guilt Mom and trying to get over my own mom guilt and really taking the action steps, that little must be nice would have like drilled its hole into my brain and lived there as like a little like seed that germinates every time the mom guilt happens. And there'd be like this little tree forming in my brain that's like, oh no, you should do this. Oh no, you should do that. Oh no. It's not pretty.
No.
It's not pretty at all. So that is what mom guilt is. And right after this, we're going to talk about how you can start fighting back against it.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Bree here. And let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Hey, all, it is Joanne
and Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. So if you have that little tree growing inside your brain right now that's like branching out and like totally taking you under its control, we want to talk about some ways to really crush your mom guilt, get rid of it, doing the work it takes to get past it.
And isn't some of that like also just recognizing like where we get it from? Like,
totally.
I think like that's a big factor of it, because like if we don't recognize where it's coming from, and we give those were great examples that we did before the break about how like you might hear it from like other people. But I mean, if you don't know where it's coming from, then it's hard to even get to a point where you can start to quiet it down. So for starters, like one of my big ones that I get it from all the time is social media and, quite honestly, my own fears.
Yeah.
Knowledge can be like, bad for me.
Can you think of a recent social media post that you saw that made you go, oh, like that makes me feel kind of icky inside?
Trying to think. Like right now, I've seen quite a few about having these interactions with their kids, their teens, because I have teens right now. So having these interactions with their teens where like they role play something at, where like their teen is upset and then they sit down and they talk to them. And it's like it reminds me of the 1990s, our sitcoms, you know, Full House, how they there's this huge problem, but it gets resolved within 30 minutes and everybody's happy at the end. Like I'll see those and I get so upset and feeling like I'm such a crappy mom when I don't get those results. The first time. Yeah. And even though
those are triggering.
Yeah. And even though, so like it's for me, it's a couple things. It's like, oh, I'm a crappy mom because I'm divorced. And so I've made my kids' life hell. That's the whole like fear factor talking right there. But then there's the other part of like, and I know this and what our work we do with No Guilt Mom, like we tell moms all the time, like it's a long game. It's a long game. All these techniques, all these strategies. There is no magic pill, guys. I hate to burst your bubble. There is no magic pill that makes something go away like that. But yeah, it's so like I get wrapped up in the social media. I'm like, well, it worked for them in 30 seconds. Why doesn't it work for me in 30 seconds?
Yeah, and social media is hard. Also coming from the other side of it where you're like putting yourself out there and then people will comment on you. There was just something on our social media this morning where Brie and I did a video about like, you're the mom of a teen, oh, yeah. Len. And like, we had so much fun with that video because it's something that I think all, like most moms can relate to. Like these are the behaviors you get from teens. You get the sassiness. You get this feeling that like you aren't doing enough or you're not cool. I mean, my daughter's recent dig on me was at the dinner table where it wasn't a dig directly, but she mentioned something like, oh yeah, you have a side part going on. And I'm like, what is wrong with my side part today?
That side part. I'm the one that suggested it. I will defend that to my death.
Oh my, yeah, but she says it's so millennial. And I'm like, I am a millennial. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, they say it in a way. I think Tina Fey had like a really good, like, I've seen it, a little soundbite of it where she was on some talk show. She's like, yeah, having a teen is like having that office crush that doesn't really like you back, that you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to do this. Like, you want to come? Maybe you're busy? No, yeah. Like we're constantly trying to impress them and they're constantly like, whatever.
Whatever. You're so uncool. Well, I've had these discussions with her before about like how those hurt my feelings. And so I looked at her and I'm like, you just insulted my side part. And she's like, well, it works for you. Like, it's good for you, mom. I just wouldn't make that choice myself. You just have to laugh after a while because it's so like she's just digging it. She's digging her grave a little bit more.
Serenity like, now.
Serenity. Taking the shovel and like throwing it over her shoulder. But so we posted this video on social media and it's funny. Like, go watch it. And this woman just commented this morning, I'm sorry that was your experience with teens. I raised three of them and they never insulted me. And I'm like,
oh, but you just didn't realize it.
That's where I pull my serenity out.
They did. You just didn't catch it. Or
maybe you didn't catch it.
Or
they're very sneaky with
it. Or perhaps your kids don't say stuff around you, but they say it around that. They still said, just not around you.
That, you know what? That is the funny part because.
Oh, yeah. Because I have somebody in my life that says that to me all the time. Well, kids don't do that around me. Oh, that's great.
That's because they don't tell you anything.
I'm so glad. Chances are you don't know half of their lives. Anyway, sorry.
It's really funny because Josh and I were just talking about this the other day and he's like, yeah, I don't ever remember telling my parents all of this stuff about my life. And I'm like, yeah, I never told my parents this much either.
Oh, yeah.
Because like our kids will come to us with their worries, with their fears, with their frustrations. And like my son recently has a fear. He had a dream that the house across the street, which is for sale right now, someone moved in there and kidnapped him.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, and he doesn't want to ride his bike to school because of this dream. And
that's intense.
We both remember, like my husband and I both remember having dreams like that, but we would never tell it to our parents because I didn't ever want to put that on my parents. I think I didn't want them to think it was like make a big deal out of it. Nor did I think like a lot of times, I mean, I don't remember specifically, but I'm guessing I was told,
that's what I was going to say. That. Like we grew up in the 80s, 90s where like our parents were Mine, I was a latchkey kid. I had my green jelly necklace that had my house key on the end of it, and like ate ice cream for breakfast and gorged on junk food when I got home. I just knew I had to have the house clean and ready by the time they got home at 5:30, 6 o'clock. Like that's, but you were also told like, suck it up. You're okay. And they didn't do it out of like anger or anything like that. Like it just, that's what their societal norms were. So I think part of that is like, again, like looking back, this mom guilt comes from what we've been taught by our parents. Like you said, those gender roles and expectations of moms, it's our job to fix everything. Like how many times have you heard the joke of like, oh, I know my kids will be in therapy talking about this later to their therapist about how I screwed this up.
Yeah.
Why you? Why mom?
What?
Why did you screw it up?
Always on.
Yeah.
I think that's unfair. Usually it's dad.
No. I'm an equal opportunity trauma person, if you ask me. Like, I'm pretty sure if you ask my kids, they will say that, like, both mom and dad have given them plenty of opportunities to talk about things in therapy. But I digress.
I think, like, a lot of mom guilt comes from this feeling that we're bad inside. Like, we're bad people. We, like, have to apologize. We have to keep all of our mistakes under wraps. Hopefully no one noticed them.
Oh, yeah.
It also comes with, like, a lot of people don't apologize to their kids ever. Like, they don't.
It's a sign of weakness, the older generation likes to say.
And I hear a lot about moms going to humble themselves for their kids. And when I think about that, I'm like, it's not really humbling yourself when you're apologizing. It's actually a very free process, because when you are allowed to talk openly about your mistakes and say like, hey, you know, I really am not proud I did that. It
teaching empathy.
Opens so many doors. Yeah. You teach empathy. You show kids like, hey, if somebody is grumpy to you or mad at you, it's probably not you, because here you are explaining to them, yeah, I lost my cool with you because this is like the story I'm telling myself and this is what's getting on under my skin, and I also have this, this, and this. So it's a real good thing.
I think it's huge, because again, like, you also know that people cannot, you can't stuff your feelings down. Like, if that is one thing that the 80s taught us, is that we can't keep stuffing our feelings down. There isn't enough volume in the world to mommy's little helpers to make us like zombified, and nobody wants to be like that. So you have to be able to work through your feelings, which means you're going to occasionally not be perfect because, oh, I don't know, we're human. And teaching your kids that they don't have to live up to perfection is amazing, because like we've had so many therapists and doctors on the podcast that have talked about the rise in mental health and anxiety and depression with our generation and our kids' generation. We're only adding on to that when we give this perception that we only do things perfectly, we never make mistakes, and that everything has to be done just so. It's not helping for anybody.
It's not helping for anybody, no.
Yeah.
No. So it's a process of letting go, too, when it comes to mom guilt. And there is one thing that does happen when you start letting go of things, like mistakes happen. Things that like you felt like you should be on top of happens. In fact, one just happened to me, and I'm going to tell you what it is right after this break. You have probably heard me talk about my dog, Addie, before. And when we first got her, we didn't know that she was a counter surfer. Now, counter surfing animals are the ones who jump on counters, especially kitchen counters, when you're not looking, and take stuff off of them. Well, in this instance, Addie had jumped onto the kitchen counter and eaten an entire bottle of my other dog's pain medication. You can imagine the freak out that ensued from me. So imagine this. You're at the vet's office again. Knowing that vet care costs continue to rise, you're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. They allow you to customize the plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
So we've gotten a little bit about what you can start doing about the mom guilt. And one of the first things you could start doing is letting go of things, letting go of this feeling that you have to make sure that everything is in line and perfect and wonderful. Yep. There was a social media post actually the other day where it was talking about how to respond to your partner or your husband or spouse when he rejects your claims about the mental load. And one of them was like something I hear actually from my husband is, you know, why you don't have to do that many things. Like no one asked you to do that many things. And the response this psychologist gave that women could give was, oh, well, of course, no one asked me to do it, but these things need to be taken care of. And I'm like, hold up. I don't agree with this. I do not agree with this. I feel like some things in our lives can be dropped so that other people can step up and take care of them. For sure, there are some things that like are bigger pains when they're dropped, but there's nothing that is can't be fixed.
Right.
So for example,
if it's not burnt down, it still can be.
It's not burnt down. We have to, you know, we buy yearbooks for our kids during the school year.
Yeah.
And we last year, actually, we bought my daughter's yearbook twice because we could not remember if we bought it in the first place.
Which is a whole other thing about how there should be a system to catch that, but neither here nor there today.
It's impossible. We have so many things going on in our lives. Yearbooks are not top priority. Yeah. And so this year, like, we made sure that my daughter had one yearbook. I'm like, I'm taking care of this, Josh. And I swear I said, you take care of the other of our son's yearbook. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't say it. I don't remember.
You're like, you know, thought came through your head, whether or not it was verbalized.
I know it came through my head.
Yes. Don't you hate that when you're like, I could have swore I said it. I see it in my head, me saying it, but I could have also walked through the conversation in my head. That does happen.
Yeah. So all of these reminders came through on the stupid Parent Square, which I hate Parent Square so much. It is this app that our school district uses that is basically like social media for school announcements. So every day there's a ping. Some schools have it. Some schools do not.
All right.
Every day there is some notification about something else that needs to be reminded or something, you know. So this yearbook thing comes through and it's like, oh, yearbook sales are closing. And I was like, oh, yeah, we got that. Yearbook sales are closed. And then my husband brings up at dinner, hey, I was looking and I can't find the yearbook receipt for our son. And I'm like, what? And I look through and like, I'm like, what company are they even through?
Right.
I don't know what company they're through because they change companies every single year. And it turns out we didn't get them a yearbook. And so there's this number that says, and we got this at the close of the school day, by the way, call the office. They ordered some. You could be put on the waiting list. So 7:30 a.m., I set a reminder on my calendar, Brie. 7:30 a.m., my reminder goes off to call the school office to get my son on this waiting list. 7:30 a.m. when the school opens. Guess what? Waiting list already filled. They're all taken. They ordered 13 additional yearbooks. All gone.
Yeah.
My son is not getting a yearbook this year.
Wah, wah.
And when he heard that, he was crying. Like, he was crushed because he felt like he's going to be left out of all of the yearbook activities at school and everything. And immediately in my head, the first thing is like, because his stupid mom couldn't get it together and buy the yearbook. And I'm like, hold up there.
Yeah. You're like, let's talk about this Missy mom guilt.
That's a really crappy thing to say to yourself, Joanne. And in balance, we call it Bob,
yes.
The voice of our Bob. Like, Bob, shut up. I have a lot of stuff going on right now. A lot of stuff going on, Bob. Like, this is unfair. And I apologized to him. I said, dude, I'm so sorry. I know. This hurts. I'm so sorry. And I just left it there. And that's all I could do. But it happens. Balls get dropped. And the only way other people are going to know to pick it up is if those balls get dropped and everyone experienced the consequences.
Yeah.
Now, my son, he's 10, going to be 11 next year. Guess who is probably going to be on my ass to buy him a yearbook?
Probably.
And to make sure that he that I get it done.
But you know what else? Guess who's probably not going to remember this in 3 years? In 6 months? Like,
I don't know. They have memories of elephants.
I'm just saying that they're not going to still be upset about it later. Like, it's going to suck. Yeah. It's going to be really hard on that day of signing the yearbooks. And there are alternatives. Again, tales from a mother who has forgotten yearbooks before. There are like little things that you can do, but still we feel terrible in the moment. We feel awful.
Yeah. It does feel awful. And emotions are real hard.
Yeah.
They are really, really hard. And I think one of the ways that I have improved on mom guilt, and I want to know what you think about this too, Brie, from your own viewpoint, is just accepting that emotions are uncomfortable at times. And that it is going to be uncomfortable in this moment. But also, if you let yourself feel that emotion, like, I felt the guilt right there. I felt the sadness. I felt the disappointment in myself all in that moment. And I just let myself feel it and gave myself some self-compassion for it. Instead of beating myself up and being like, man, you should get that under control next time. I was like, you have a lot of stuff that you're juggling right now, Joanne. Like, he is sad. It's going to be okay. And you're hurting right now too. And you're feeling really sad and like it's painful and it's okay. And I was just there and I was hugging myself and I was sitting quietly with myself. And of course I feel better today than I did yesterday about it.
Yeah.
And you get through it. And I think that has helped me a lot in mom guilt, knowing that if something happens, and I forget something, or if something like the ball gets dropped, I'm going to get through it. And ultimately, I am going to be okay for it.
Yeah. I'm still.
So will my kids. My kids will be okay too.
I'm still working through that journey myself. Like, I actually, my process is I have to do a lot of talking it out and just saying how I feel. Cause I used to just keep it all in, which didn't help. It just made Bob louder. Mm-mm. Cause you just were like, Yep, you're right, Bob. I suck. Yeah. I mean, every other mom managed to get their stuff together. Like, but for me, I think I have to like talk it through. And a lot of times I have to hear somebody and that's just me and my own journey because I have my own stuff I have to process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not as far along, but I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I have to constantly tell myself every morning, I am enough. I am enough. Mm-hmm. I am enough for my husband.
Thing, yeah.
I am enough for my family. I am enough for my kids. I'm enough for my coworkers. I'm enough for everybody because I constantly like have this thing that I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough for everybody. I'm disappointing everyone. And so I'll talk through that with my husband if I have something that gets dropped. Like, I'm trying to think. Like my son's birthday recently. Like, he didn't want to hang out for his birthday. He turned 17 over the weekend. And the boy was like, nope, I signed up to work all weekend. And I'm like, why? He's like, because I don't like birthdays and I just don't want to do anything really big for my birthday. It's just not my jam. So like I constantly kept second guessing everything I was doing and that I was screwing it up. And I had already broken him. And that's why he didn't want to do his birthday, because you're obviously broken if you don't want to celebrate your birthday. Nothing. And yeah, I don't mean
there's a lot of thoughts going on,
right?
There.
Like, but I'm just saying, like, that is the dumbest thought ever. That because someone,
but oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. Not the dumbest thought ever.
But I'm just saying, like, that's the silliest thought ever. Like, that because someone doesn't enjoy an experience the same way I do, that there must be trauma involved in that. And why? Because I'm not a good enough parent, and that's why they have trauma. No, they just are, they're an introvert. They don't like making a big deal. Never have, Mom. But
yeah, right? I would approach it like with a lot more compassion to yourself.
Again, like my
it's a process.
My compassion, like, sounding board is my husband. I'll tell him all the nasty, crazy thoughts in my head that I don't like to tell other people. And he'll just do a, that sounds like a lot. And why are you telling yourself that? Well, because XYZ. Okay. I can tell you I never saw Robert say or do or any of that. And I'm like, but he was probably thinking it. Yeah, but you don't know what he's thinking, right? So like maybe. And then after the conversation.
He does a good job of that, Miguel does.
Right? And then after the conversation, I'm like, okay, so maybe I made it a bigger deal in my head than it really was. And I am enough, and we move forward. But like, I have to really, I'm working on that journey of giving myself the compassion and the hugs and realizing that's uncomfortable. And you know, we can't handle tears. Anybody cries, I'm immediately anything I can do to make it better.
It's so interesting. You know, those things, like if you wouldn't say it to a good friend,
right?
Like, don't say it to yourself. So I just want to offer another perspective. When you were saying those funny thoughts, I was like, don't be mean to my friend like that. Like, stop.
Right?
Like, that's why I jumped in. I'm like, wait a minute, you're being so mean to yourself.
I know, right?
And like, I'm near tears. Like,
we talk about that, like, and balance and everything. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So we've talked about like what mom guilt is, how awful it could be, where it comes from. Now, what are those, like, let's talk a little bit more about what are those things that we can do about it to start moving forward in that compassion journey. Like you said, for starters, just letting yourself feel it. That's huge.
Feel it.
That is huge.
Giving yourself that self-compassion instead of self-criticism. Yes. Like, don't beat yourself up for feeling it either. Don't beat yourself up for thinking it. Like, being like, you are in pain right now because these thoughts are going through your head.
Yeah.
And it's like a simple shift that really, like, instead of trying to fight back against the pain and give all this resistance, the resistance disappears and you just experience the pain. Oh. And I feel like experiencing the pain is a lot easier than dealing with resistance and pain.
I have a perfect example of that. You've had a day and like a million things happen. And when that million and one thing happens, you just sit down and cry. You just cry. Mm-hmm. And do you not feel better most of the time after the cry is done? Like,
yeah,
because you've been holding it in all day long. And then like, once you finally just let yourself feel it, you're like, okay, I can move on now. I needed that. I was fighting it all day long, but I needed that. So that's like, I feel like that's a physiological example right there. All of us have had that happen.
I feel that that is a really good example of it. And we didn't dig into it too much, but we are doing a podcast episode on this very, very soon. It's about values. And that's a way to counter expectations, is if you feel like you're expected to do something as a mom, like, oh, you should have all the yearbooks purchased and you should make sure they're totally dressed perfectly for school and look neat and presentable. Like, it's a good place to determine where your values are. And if your values lie in like connection or even growth for yourself, and you're looking at your child and you're handling everything for your child so much that they are not growing, I mean, that goes directly against your values.
And then you've got that.
And that's a little like wedge in there, and be like, oh, maybe I don't need to do all these things. Maybe it's actually going against my values doing all of these things instead of going for them.
I think it's a good example of like, why am I feeling so guilty about this? About the way I'm handling this. Because sometimes we don't even know why we're upset about the way we're handling it. Or not upset, but guilty, why we're feeling that guilt. Chances are there's a sneaky underlying reason for it. And like you just said, it's because it goes against something that we value. Like,
yeah,
that's making that go, oh, exactly. You suck at this because you're not meeting this value.
Maybe, yeah. Or like society and social media and like mothers-in-law and moms are – any woman in your life, even the men in your life, which, oh my gosh, I got so mad at my dad, but I think I've talked about that before. I definitely talked about it in the No Guilt Mom Weekly. So if you're not on that list, make sure to go subscribe to the No Guilt Mom Weekly. We have a link in the show notes. But all of those voices can get in your head and make you do things that are actually against your values in the first place. And so you feel like this resistance to it. But again, look for that episode on values. We are going to go into it deep, 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 deep. And then if you want help on this journey, we have Balance VIP for you. Like, come and give it a shot. Like, we have a link for you in the show notes. It is a good time in there. All of our women are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I found this group. Like, this is life-changing. Jennifer, let's give a shout out to Jennifer S. for a minute. Mentioned the other day, she's like, I told my doctor about No Guilt Mom and about Balance and everything I'm doing in there. And I told them to go check it out as well, because it's made such a change in my parenting and like how happy I am and how connected I feel. And
yeah,
it's amazing. So
it's a group of people that are there to help like support you and lift you up on your journey, however long that journey is. And whatever that journey is. And like, that's the amazing thing about it. And like, the other thing too that I love so much about Balance is that not only do you, first of all, get to know that you're not the only one that has that Bob and that mom guilt and those, like I like to say, those scary thoughts going on in your head that you're like, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this to myself. You're not alone. There are other people that are going through the exact same thing. But we also have the ability to give you the tools to help support you so that you can start making that mind shift. Like, I know, like I said, I'm not necessarily as far along as you are in the compassion, but I'm working on it. I'm not giving up on it. And 3 years ago, I would
have. It takes practice.
Yeah, 3 years ago, I wouldn't even told you I needed compassion. I would have been like, I'm just fine. I'm totally fine. I'm a child of the 90s. I'm fine. I'm not bleeding. Yeah. Nothing's broken. I'm fine. I can function. It's okay that the bone's sticking out, but I can kind of twist it a little bit. And you won't see it.
You're tough.
Good. Like, now I know it's because I keep telling myself that I'm not enough, and I need to keep reminding myself I am enough. And it's going to take more than that time, but Balance helps support you in that. So,
exactly. So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.